like a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:32 p.m. This is late night. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Origin True podcast, up all night. Brought to you cordially by Sonic Tools. No, brought to you by no one. Your ad here, harbored by collegeandmagnolia.com. I am Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter, at Son of Crow on Venmo. To one side of me is the amateur statistician, the engineer Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett.
I guess we're not doing champs either, but champ of the week to Sarah for bringing us cookies from before we started.
Champ and hammer of the week. Champ hammer. The other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR. The reason you tune in, the thing that really kick-started this show when he came on, a man that's going to go see Incubus and 311 this summer.
I don't know about Incubus.
Hey, you chief.
Pardon me.
Greetings, Orange and Truthers. This week, we have good and bad. We have good and tragic. We have Chief drinking right into a microphone.
Oh.
Yeah.
ASMR.
That's that brandy. Absolutely. We are celebrating a birthday this week. It is Orange and Drew's 1 year birthday. First birthday. It not sure 1 year. People. That's how people talk. They don't say 1 year birthday.
It's supposed to be a party thing.
That's a first birthday. We've had a
like your power tools, Chief.
A lot of ups and downs.
Yeah, I got like three sound effects. Sorry.
Chief, you came on
like 2 months in?
2 months in?
Yeah.
Before football season.
Late July?
Yeah.
Hold on. We'll get to the bottom of this.
Act 2.
Keep vamping.
They would call it Act 2. The Chief ads.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
Chief ads his hot takes, calling out people by name. And yeah. Guys, what was your favorite part of this past year? And if you're listening, tweet your favorite parts of the Orange and True year, the year of Orange and True, not including We've Got Jared, because that's the easy
answer.
Yeah,
everybody's going to say that.
But your favorite part of the Orange and True podcast year, at College and Mag on Twitter, and just send it to us. We want to know what you think about what we've been doing for the past year. Hopefully, we've gotten better since episode 1.
I received a direct message from one Ryan Starrett on July 25th, 2018.
Okay, so July 25th.
So some time right around in there.
Hopefully, unlike the Star Wars movies, we got better after episode 1.
Wait, episode 3?
I'm just kidding.
Actually, pretty good.
Star Wars movies were all much better almost as you go. Episode 1, and then 2, and then 3, 4, 5, 6.
2's the worst.
2 is awful.
I mean, it's almost unwatchable at times.
Have we talked about my hot take of Star Wars is that the Solo is the best movie they've made since Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, well.
Better than Rogue One?
Well, Rogue One is maybe a perfect movie, but
Solo's awesome. Solo's super fun. Solo's like a Fast and the Furious movie in space.
Rogue One is maybe a perfect movie, except for it has to have context. With no context, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's true.
But with the context of the movies, it's almost perfect.
I want to make that Dash Rendar movie.
Well, they that's did. What I want. It's called Solo.
Well, I know, but I want the Dash Rendar Shadows of the Empire N64 video game. That storyline, well, but as a film.
They wrote a book, and it's pretty sexual. So
really?
Oh, yeah.
I played that game a lot as a kid. I don't remember that
disgusting,
part.
Disgusting, the book is.
I don't think my mom would let me play an N64 game that was disgusting. Between that and Star Fox, I would have learned a lot about doing barrel rolls.
I remember that game.
There you go.
Oh,
not totally out of the culture.
It was
out. Remember when playing video games sounded like clunk, 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 clunk? All right, now we can start our game. Everything was just plastic, hard plastic, chunky. Yeah. All right, tonight we're going to talk a little baseball. We're going to talk a little football. Ryan does not have trivia.
As far as I know, or show notes.
Because, it's okay.
It's been a week, but that's the first thing we want to talk about is the things on everybody's mind. Auburn, I said the other day, if the Auburn family was a church, Auburn may have lost its pastor today or this week.
It's a good analogy.
Just in that, this is the guy who shared this experience with us and maybe gave us the vocabulary for how to talk and think about what we were watching and seeing. Or hearing.
Yeah.
And like for me, like I listened to the entire SEC tournament on the radio this year, basketball.
Yeah, you were doing
down in Beauregard, weren't you?
Because but like, and it was not a chore to have to listen to it on the radio,
right?
Because it was like watching it. It was like having a couple of my friends watch the game and tell me about it. Yeah. Well, one of my friends and then like my granddad watching the game and telling me about it. You know, I think somebody shared in our group text that we all listened to the games as much as we could this year because we thought we wouldn't have many years with Sonny.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I'm glad I did that because we didn't have many more with Rod. And I mean, that really wasn't expected.
No.
Yeah.
No, this is, it's hard. It was hard when Jim Fife died.
Also suddenly.
Because that was also suddenly. But Jim was older. Or he seemed a little bit older.
He was 57.
He was 57.
So he's not that much older. He seemed a lot older.
Right.
But 57 back then was not 57 in 2009.
Well, it was not that long
ago. I know, but still.
But, you know, and I know that it's hard. It was hard then. You guys may not remember. I don't know how much you guys listened. I don't think you did because that was
the
before.
The first Auburn game I went to in person was the 2003 USC game.
Okay. So.
So Jim Fife. It was the first game.
He'd already passed away.
Yeah, and they were trying to introduce the touchdown Auburn cheer in the student section.
Yeah, and I don't get go ahead.
Yeah, for me, I didn't really
remember.
Because
you weren't even 10 yet, right?
Yeah, no, I was 8 when Jim passed.
Yeah.
And for me, like, I never really listened to games on the radio anyways. I could always watch them on television.
Right.
Growing up in the mid-2000s, every Auburn game was on TV.
Right. So I had a bit of a different experience in that. Almost every Saturday in the fall, I was out dove hunting. So I listened to a lot of games with Jim Fife. Or I was over at the river in late August, swimming and all that kind of stuff. But when he died, it was like, man, nobody's going to be able to replace this guy. And, you know, I'd listen to some of Rod do baseball games. He did other work with the network as well. So when he came on, I at least knew kind of who he was. And, it was interesting because everybody was kind of like, okay, is he going to be able to do this? But I think it. We highlighted this on the site earlier this week, his first touchdown call.
Right.
And I remember that one because if you don't remember, surely you all do, it was the third game of the season that we got first touchdown. And
Rod, that 03 year was tough.
Yeah. This was the year basically before I started paying attention to football.
Yeah. Well, you missed a terrible one.
I started 2004.
Good.
Bandwagon.
But Rod really, he grabbed that moment by the horns. He paid his respects to Jim, and you really felt like, okay, here we go. And I don't know if I haven't seen a lot of people mention this, is Rod tried for a while to do touchdown Tigers as his thing instead of touchdown Auburn, because that was Jim Fife's thing. But luckily, that same season, he settled in and took that as his own, and he made the whole thing his own.
Yeah.
And honestly, we all remember Jim Fife fondly, but his voice has faded from my memory, and the voice of Auburn sports is Rod.
Yeah, because he does every sport. Like, whereas Jim just did really football and basketball, Rod was doing, did every single men's sport. And that was, I mean, he was at everything. Tiger Talk, and I mean, he was at every event.
Yeah, I think Josh Black kind of put it the right way, where he was the MC for Auburn.
Yeah.
Every event, if it was an alumni event, if it was,
if it was the Rocky Mountain Auburn Club or the Sawgrass Auburn Alumni Society,
he was there.
Yeah, he loved Auburn, and this was his dream job. I think that's been pointed out by a lot of people that knew him a lot better than anybody in this room did.
Certainly.
This was his dream job, and he never took that for granted. And that's, I mean, that's about all anybody can hope for. So it makes this that much harder knowing something like that.
I mean, I think I met him 5-6 times. He was always, when I was in college, I think I may have met him once since. But he's always such a nice guy. Just a sweetheart
guy. As everybody here, it's appropriate that we talked movies there at the top because Rod, I would run into him at the movies all the time. It would be I'd look over and be like, where's Rod? He's buying us popcorn and his ticket going in. And sure enough, he's going to the same movie I am on a, like, I don't know, Wednesday night or Wednesday afternoon. So it would always be weird times.
Yeah.
Always be just funny to see him. And every now and then I'd strike up a conversation with him about it. The last time I can remember, it was, I believe, right before episode 7 came out, Star Wars. And I was sitting behind him and Sonny at the basketball game. At one of the ones over Christmas.
I thought you were going to say he and Sonny went to the movies together.
Oh, that'd be great. I was sitting right behind him. That'd been so awesome.
They are commenting on
episode 7. I'd pay for a Mystery Science Theater.
Yes. All right, play defense guys without Fallon here, Jedi.
But I talked to him about that, and that was cool. He was excited about it. So he mentioned to – I asked him if he'd seen it yet, because I believe it was already out. And he said he hadn't, because he had to wait to take his son. So that was pretty cool. Just knowing, I don't know, it's always weird.
Yeah.
Living in Auburn, you see these people living their regular lives,
right?
You know,
living here, it's kind of what happens when you're around town. You might see, but saw Gus Malzahn in front of Taco Mama the other day. It's right. Kind of one of those kind of things.
But it's not that weird with Rod, because you always felt like he was a regular guy,
right?
He
struck an incredible balance of being an Auburn fan and a really good professional.
Oh yeah,
like he was, you know, Sportscaster of the Year in 2013.
Let me tell you,
on a national level, yeah. He was really good at his job. But yeah, he also felt like
there's nothing I like more than you about the game than mad at the refs, Rod.
Yeah,
where he wouldn't say anything. He was just like, well,
he'd feed Sonny a little bit.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
Rod was a homer, and you know nobody. He wouldn't tell you he wasn't.
I don't. Why wouldn't you want a homer?
Exactly. But at the same time, it wasn't like he was bad because he was a homer. He was a homer, and he was extremely professional while still being, you know, actively in favor of Auburn. It wasn't like he was saying "we" and "us" a bunch of times. It was you knew whose fan base he was talking to. Like, he knew who he was speaking to.
He wasn't talking like he was out there on the field.
He wasn't on Westwood One. You know, he was talking to people who want Auburn to win.
Right.
And like Josh Black. If you ever read it, Josh Black's piece on College of Mag was incredible. Yeah, he should write more stuff for us. But he
put us to shame.
Yeah, he had a thing about, you know, you think it would be so much fun to be the broadcaster for Auburn. Well, what about Texas A&M coming in here and beating us 63-20?
Yeah,
it wouldn't be fun that night. And Rod did it.
Yeah,
and with a smile on his face, and, you know, took his medicine and called the games. Sometimes Auburn games stink to watch.
A lot of bad basketball games for Auburn.
He called a 3-2 game, ladies and gentlemen.
Football game, yeah.
He may have called the most exciting ending to any football game and the least exciting ending to the football game ever.
He called the kick six. He called 3-2. He called Auburn going to the Final Four, and he called the Tony Barbie era.
Called a national championship game.
He called two national championships,
yeah, college World Series. And
a Final Four and a college World Series.
I mean, this guy, he did it all. He did about everything you could imagine. But man, I'd love to still have him.
Yeah. It's gonna be really tough. And I mean they're gonna put a video together and play it at the stadium before the first game, and everyone's gonna lose it and be weeping.
They'll do it again for basketball.
And And it's appropriate because this guy meant, I mean, they're broadcasting his funeral on the internet, on the news station, WSFA, is broadcasting the funeral live. So if you're listening to this tomorrow, if this goes up tomorrow, you know, you can watch. But, and that's not because it's a public, this is not John Glenn.
Right.
Or John McCain. Like, this is a person who just meant a ton to a group of people who loved Auburn, and he loved Auburn.
Yeah, he did. Auburn loved him. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's been great to see the outpouring of love for him.
For both of them, for him and Paul.
Yeah, for him and his wife.
And his kids.
Who worked at Auburn as well for a long time. It's been pretty incredible to see. And as Crow pointed out, for taking care of their kids, the Auburn family.
Yeah, at least
definitely doing that. And
for the guy who, like I said, gave us the vocabulary to talk about, but gave us the soundtrack for all of our favorite Auburn memories, and was commiserated with us like a friend at the bar when Auburn had bad times.
Yeah.
Told us how to feel and told us, you know, why it was so bad, and like how we're going to get over it. And at the end of every broadcast with the War Eagle and thanks, I mean, that's a buddy for life who you've never met. My wife used to make fun of me all the time because I used to listen to a lot more podcasts than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, and I was living in Germany and no one spoke English, and I'm...
So it's like you're...
Yeah. So I would reference things that people on podcasts had said, and I would say, oh, my friend said such and such. And then I'd catch myself and realize that I don't know this person at all. This is just a person whose podcast I listen to. And all of us lost a friend. Even if you've never met Rod, if you listen to someone on the radio long enough, there's probably somebody listening to this who think you know me, Ryan, and Chief, which is flattering because we're just a couple, three idiots.
We're not nearly as good at this.
No. And the fact that when you listen to somebody do something over and over and over again, it really does make you feel like you know them. I really felt like I knew Rod, and all I've ever heard him do is call games.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
Yeah.
Anyway,
my closest face-to-face interaction with Rod is walking by him at basketball games as a student. That's it, really. And I'm sure everybody has a story of just because he's so personable, he's easy to talk to.
Yeah, he's a sweet guy.
But literally every basketball game, you know, before and after commercial breaks, he's interacting with people. He's talking to people that, I mean, he doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to go talk to the group of 19-year-olds that know nothing about basketball. But they're just, you know, hanging out, whatever. I'm barely older than that, and I don't like talking to people that age.
No.
No. But, no, he's, I don't know.
We're going to miss him.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I know about Rod is he would like us to go on, and he would like us to start the next part of our show talking about his favorite thing in the world, Auburn baseball. So, Ryan, where is Auburn baseball today? Well, this weekend. Where are they
today? Headed? I'm not sure. Hopefully they're getting...
They were at Lake Martin tonight. Yesterday, it looked like.
Great.
Based on the Instagram, they were at the Goat Island.
They are playing in Atlanta this weekend.
Close to home.
The regional, playing against Georgia Tech.
SEC tournament? Oh.
No,
that'll be... Let's agree not to talk about the SEC tournament. Mm-hmm. How about that?
The SEC tournament did not go well for the Auburn baseball Tigers.
But we did beat Tennessee.
That's a real bummer.
It is a real bummer.
Rod's last
game. It's a real bummer.
Yeah.
But this could be the thing that pushes Auburn into a huge magical run.
Yeah, look.
Which is what I hope.
It can happen. Tell us how it can happen.
Tell us how it's going to happen. Who we got? We got FAMU. I know that.
We
got
to be Coastal Carolina first.
The Rattlers.
We got to be Coastal Carolina first.
The Chanticleers.
Chanticleers. My brother almost went there, actually.
Really? The Chanticleers?
Yeah.
Nice.
Mamadou Njai coach.
Do you guys remember, and this is
those are chickens.
Super inside. Do you remember a Disney-ish cartoon about an Elvis-like singing rooster?
Yeah, Rock-a-doodle-doo.
Doom. Boom, 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 Rock-a-doodle-doo. I have referenced
it long before. And
nobody knows what I am talking about. And he was called Chanticleer, I believe.
That was his name.
It was basically a biopic based on a rooster who
was kind of like rooster, Elvis, right?
Kind of like a direct ripoff of Elvis.
Yeah. Was it a show or a movie?
It was a movie, a Disney animated movie, but I don't even know if it ever came out in the cinema.
Straight to VHS.
I've got a Google box.
It may have been straight to Disney Channel. But I bet I've watched that movie 1,000 times before the age of 10.
Rock-a-doodle is the name of the movie.
He was, Anyway.
Coastal Carolina.
The Chanticleers. Yeah. Named after this movie, I'm sure.
Or that's just kind of chicken. It was a
cross promotion with Disney.
Anyways, we play them Friday, I think at 11 Central Time, maybe?
Sure.
Really need Drew to tell us about this.
I have no idea.
Way to go.
Based on his preview that I
We don't have today, any notes, so.
Well,
I did not do show notes.
You
guys.
Keep talking.
I can tell you all about it
right here. I can read you what Drew would say if we had him on. We'll have him on next week, hopefully to do a super regional primal.
Yeah.
Primer.
I can tell you all about Rock-a-Doodle. It was not a Disney film.
Oh, no way.
It was a Bluth film, not
like Joe. From the rest of development?
No, not those guys. Oh. Like the All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Oh, kind man, of I love All Dogs but Go to
Gary
Heaven.
Gary Oldman was in this movie.
Okay.
As I believe, Chanticleer the Chicken.
Gary Oldman, famously from Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which is a great movie.
Pretty good. And Mark Strong in that as well is pretty good. And the Benedict Cumberbatch dudes.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman's also in The Professional, or Leon, as it was called.
Leon.
Great movie.
Chauncey,
it's also in the Batman movies.
Yeah. Chauncey the Chanticleer.
It's also Winston Churchill.
See, the Chanticleer.
Chauncey the Chanticleer is the mascot of the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers.
Chauncey.
The champions of the Sun Belt Fun Belt Tournament. Well,
they're usually pretty good at baseball, am I wrong?
Yeah, they're one of those smaller
schools. They scored.
Always in the College World Series, or not, maybe not always, but they're a really good mid-major.
Yeah,
they scored 80 runs. Oxen, 80 runs last week alone.
That's
a lot of runs.
It sounds awful.
Their only loss was a 10-inning walk-off loss to the UT Arlington Mavs. Go Mavs.
Man, UT Arlington.
The Mid-Cities kept bringing it in. Up and down season, Drew says. Guys, collegemagno.com's got everything you need to prep you for this.
Drew's
the problem with the
really good players, at this.
They don't pitch well. Their top two pitchers, Anthony Veneziano, who has
is he from the old country?
A future as a pizza chef, it sounds like. And Austin Kitchen. He can cook pizza in Austin's kitchen.
Gosh.
The scout, they have a 4.26 ERA and a 6.78 ERA. Oof, Magoof. The scout on them is that make sure your pitching is good because they can score a bunch of runs in a hurry. Yeah. And then maybe you can score some runs there too. They kind of are the Everton under, not Big Sam, but the coach before that. Oh, man, my Belgian.
Ronald Koeman?
No, the Belgian coach. Martinez.
He's not. Oh, he's the coach of Belgium.
Yeah, not Belgian.
He's not Belgian. He's Catalan.
He's Catalan.
He almost got the Barca job this week.
Of course, for the anyway, soccer.
Ryan, famously, this man, Roberto Martinez.
He could score.
He could score a lot of goals.
He could play some pretty football.
But his teams also gave up a lot of goals. So it's a Texas Tech. He's a Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah, 2014 Auburn, Cliff Kingsbury's entire run at Texas Tech. And Roberto Martinez is a run as Belgium and Everton's football manager.
Yeah.
Is also like the Chanticleers. Home of Chauncey the Chanticleer.
So the problem is, even if we get by Coastal,
what color is that? What color would you
teal?
Call
teal?
Is it teal?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Even if we get by Coastal, the teal Chanticleers, Georgia Tech's like the number 3 national seed. I think it's going to be really tough getting out of that region.
That is their color. Teal.
Just twice. Okay.
That is the color of a Carolina Panthers uniform you got.
No,
it's not official.
Oh, okay.
Like from Kmart.
Well, that's almost teal.
Like like the Walmart Panthers. No, that's probably officially licensed. An unofficially licensed Panthers color is what Chauncey the Chanticleer
is.
Man, I couldn't look at that for a long time.
Is Mamadou still coaching there? He coached. He was an assistant under Cliff there. Anyway,
your guess is as good as mine. You know who else is in this?
I the Rattlers,
Florida A&M Rattlers at FAMU. Where is FAMU located?
Tallahassee.
There it is, Tallahassee, Florida.
Is there a marching band coming in the region?
You know how rad that would be?
You know there's a lot of FAMU people around here?
Like around Auburn?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Tons.
We're not that far from Tallahassee.
They might.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know. Florida A&M Rattlers, apparently can.
They also probably don't want to live in Tallahassee.
Well, true. They ran through the MEAC tournament. They got one player, Octavian Moyer, does everything for him as a second baseman, leads the team in batting average, runs, and home runs, and slugging. But then they can also pitch. They got a couple of good pitchers. So this is a really tough bracket that Auburn has found itself in. Because also in this bracket is a team Auburn just played, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Ryan, as a Georgia Tech fan, first, Mississippi State fan second, Auburn fan third, tell us what to know about the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
Well, they've already stomped us twice this year, and I know that not only because I've watched the game, but my Georgia Tech alum brother was letting me know about the final score.
Seen an engineer by chance?
He's an aerospace engineer.
Oh, man. Yeah. Took a shot in the dark.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk?
He's an English major. We've been a really famous answer.
Oh, man.
Wait, what?
Anyways, they're really good. They can score a lot of runs. Honestly, I don't know a ton about the roster, except I do know the Wilhite brothers.
Josh
Wilhite? Personally. Jonathan second base Wilhite? And center fielder.
I knew Jonathan Wilhite.
No, Nick and Austin.
Didn't he play for Auburn?
I think Austin.
Jonathan Wilhite was a corner for Auburn.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, anyways. The two of them, they're twins, I believe. I think they're the same age. They play second and center field.
That's how twins work.
Yeah. They're like 5 years younger than me. I went to church with them growing up.
Oh, were they
they're good kids.
Were they any good at baseball then?
They're all right. They're starting for the number 3 seed.
So here's what we got. I'm going to read the summary. Drew, I'm not going to do an impersonation of you, but as a fellow Drew, Unlike last year, this is a tough get for Auburn. However, we have seen that when the offense arrives and delivers, the pitching staff is happy to help out. I believe Auburn will go with Jack Owen in game one. Who could argue? 8 days since his last start where he looked like his old self against LSU, going 5.2 innings, a five-hit, one-run ball. If Auburn gets that kind of performance from Jack and then a bridge from Elliot Anderson and then close the door for the Bull, it should be enough for Auburn to take game one. Then, in game two, if Tanner Burns can go for the Tigers, all bets are off the table, and you couldn't ask for anything more. Should the Tigers get back Saturday, Johnny Fullstaff, Fitz, Fuller, Wade, Anderson again, anyone to close out. See what happens up in Chapel Hill. Who knows? Maybe Tennessee wins that regional. I know a team that went 4-0 against the Vols this season. He's talking about Auburn, Chief. Auburn went 4-0 against the Vols.
Hold on. Are we going to get to play Tennessee in a postseason again?
Auburn playing Tennessee in a postseason this year is a good thing. It's good juju.
Although if we played North Carolina, I don't really have a problem with that either.
Oh, man. Remember that time that the basketball team beat North Carolina like a drum?
Is Kansas in this thing?
Not in ours. I don't know. I don't know if Kansas has a baseball team. You could tell me they did.
They only play basketball there.
Oh, okay. Well, they used to be all right at football for like two seasons.
They had a gigantic coach.
Fattest coach of all time.
He doubled as the mascot for Western Carolina. Western Kentucky. Sorry. Western Kentucky. Dang it. That's my own joke.
Yeah, well, I got you.
Thank
you.
Guys, they downsized to Charlie Weiss.
And then downsized to Les Miles.
Man. Yeah, those are all big chunksters.
Hey, I'm going to go ahead.
It is Midwest.
My big preseason prediction for the Big 12 is that Kansas does not finish last in the Big 12 with Les Miles. They're gonna be an 8-win team sooner than later.
Are they going to beat Texas again?
With the hat in there. No, because I don't think anybody beats Texas this year.
Oh, yeah?
Until the playoff. That's my other prediction, is that Texas is back, baby.
Nah.
Dude, they beat the dog out of Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. If that team shows up. Anyway, we're not talking football, and we're not talking Big 12 football.
Why not?
It's the best thing.
We're talking basketball because...
Oh, yeah.
We got a big weekend.
Oh, Big Horse Spencer got the... give back team, right?
Some sort of award,
right?
Yeah.
It's for community service, basically.
Okay.
Being active in the community. He's one of five guys in Division One that got it. So that's pretty good.
That is cool.
Way to go, Gilbert.
Yeah, that boy, Gilbert.
What a nice, a good dude.
He is a real good dude, and sad to see him leave Auburn, but I'm hoping the best for him.
Wouldn't be shocked if Gilbert Spencer is a off the court analyst for the Auburn Tigers in basketball next year.
Really?
Would not be shocked. Yeah, he's just that kind of guy that you want around your team.
Yeah, that'd be a...
Especially if it would let us have an extra analyst.
Yeah, that'd be a good...
If Avery gets to still be in the locker room, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Oh, and then horses get paid pretty well for that, I'm assuming.
Or you'd be grad assistant.
Better
you
than
get a free grad degree.
True. There is an open coaching job, right?
Yeah.
No.
Have we filled it?
Ira Bowman? He's still on paid leave.
Thought Coach Pruitt was already promoted into that position.
No, just during the Final Four. I read an article today that Ira Bowman is still on paid leave. They're still gathering information to make a decision on that. So,
another basketball news: the Auburn basketball team announced today via Twitter its SEC opponents for the upcoming schedule. Now, the soccer team has yet to announce its schedule for this fall, which
How soon do they start playing?
They start in August.
That doesn't surprise me.
I want to know where to play my road trips.
Well.
My tailgates.
That doesn't surprise me.
I got to book the Airbnbs. The SEC opponents for the Auburn basketball Tigers include home games against the Crimson Tide of Alabama, the Georgia Bulldogs, Kentucky Wildcats, LSU Tigers, Ole Miss, Rebel Black Bears, Sharks, the South Carolina Gamecocks, Tennessee Volunteers, Texas A&M Aggies, and the Vanderbilt Commodores at home here in Auburn. Away from the friendly confines of Auburn Arena, Auburn plays the Alabama Crimson Tide, those same Arkansas Razorbacks, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky Wildcats again, the Ole Miss Rebels, Mississippi State Bulldogs, the Missouri Tigers, and the Tennessee Volunteers. So what I'm seeing is we play Tennessee twice, we play Ole Miss twice, we play Alabama twice, we play Kentucky twice, Florida once.
And Tennessee twice.
Florida once, Georgia once.
We always play Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss twice, I guess.
No, I think it was twice. That's right.
So, yeah, yeah, I think it was twice.
Those three we always play twice, and then we rotate around two more. And we landed on Kentucky and Tennessee this year.
Oof. Magically so, landed.
Yeah,
on
it's
Kentucky
almost like, and I think Kentucky and Tennessee are, they always play twice as well, I believe.
Yeah,
I believe
they do.
So we have a little round robin at the top of the tournament.
We do not
top
have
of the conference, rather.
We have Florida only away, which it's, Auburn has not been great away at Florida.
It's unclear if
Auburn was not great away at all until the postseason last year.
It's unclear if Tennessee will be very good next year.
Yeah, they're losing a bunch of dudes, and they aren't recruiting extremely well.
And who's their coach again?
Well, yeah, Rick Barnes.
Yeah. So,
and he's got more in-state drama to deal with, but the fact that across the state, a guy's literally recruiting, like, all of a sudden, Memphis, Kentucky,
just,
Duke.
Just handing out
we don't
huge
know
mattresses
not
full
here
of money.
I am not here to speculate.
I'm casually liable.
Not enough to keep Rajon Tucker.
And for any Penny Hardaway's up to.
I mean, he may have just taken his duffel bag and peaced out. He may have just gotten those free pair of pennies that everybody
listen,
wants. And
I'm
just
telling
left
you, the fact that Penny Hardaway has his own signature shoe and Nike loves him,
yeah,
does not hurt.
Well,
at all.
It's not Memphis paying these players. Let's be clear about that.
Right.
It's not Kentucky paying those players.
I'm not saying anybody's paying any players.
It's not Duke too paying those players. There.
Everybody's paying players under the table.
It's just not the school.
Really. Right.
Oh, no, it's only Nike.
Well,
we're
not
only
Nike.
No,
Adidas.
Because Adidas has got but not Under Armour.
Well,
Under Armour has not been caught up into
Under
any
Armour
of this.
Has not been. I have never tested positive for performance enhancing drugs.
Oh, I listened to that Lance Armstrong, Charles Barkley podcast. It was delightful.
Super good, right?
Yeah.
A couple months ago, Chuck went on the Lance Armstrong Forward podcast and was terrific. Talked a little Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you look that up.
Talked a little Leeds, Alabama.
Get the wheels turning now. I want to see Charles Barkley cycling.
Well,
no.
He did reference that he thought Lance was not a good athlete because anybody can ride a bike. Which is pretty funny.
Chuck, I want to see you in Bo Bikes, Bama.
No, that'd be hilarious.
You don't think Bo's tried to get him to do that?
I don't know if Charles's hips and knees
no,
would let him
I
do it at all.
I don't think so.
Charles doesn't have the best legs. I mean, I saw him race an official who was three times his age one time at the All-Star game. Remember that when he raced Dick Pavetta?
Charles is also not taking care of himself quite as good as, say, Bo Jackson has after.
Bo could play today. It would not shock me if he could hit a baseball today as good as anybody else in the major leagues.
Yeah.
He's got that Julio Franco
man
kind of body.
Former Ranger grade Julio Franco.
What if I name my kid after Nolan Ryan?
That'd be awesome.
Okay. I thought you'd like that.
Right. Only if he ends up speaking and sounding like Nolan Ryan. Hey, your dad. I think it's a great day. This family is a really good organization. So what else you want to talk about? We've reached the end of what I wanted to talk about this podcast.
We got a big recruiting weekend coming up.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned that. Yeah, we got 3 5 stars coming in this weekend.
Yeah.
Three, five, now, none of them are for this coming season because that's
no, it's
coming
2020.
Right,
but that,
already,
it's
yeah,
for guys that would sign in December, though.
Yeah, for guys that could be in that the last class.
In case you didn't know, most of your guys usually sign in December for basketball.
Yeah,
almost all, and then you have late additions later that you kind of attack on.
And the big deal with that class, Chief, is that this 2020 class is the last class of one and dones.
Yeah.
So the 2021 class. Guys will be able to go straight to the NBA, most likely.
And how many people do you think are going to do that? Maybe
man, a
20?
Lot.
Maybe.
I mean, you're looking at out of the top 50 recruits, 50% of them.
So, okay, so 20 to 25 guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, like, Greg Brown, for instance, if he was a year younger, would be going to the NBA.
And I think you'll probably see a couple of guys that maybe aren't at the top of the recruiting rankings that just – maybe they're not going to qualify.
Like Austin Wiley and Chuma Okeke probably would have gone pro at ICE. Well, not Chuma, maybe not. But
I don't
Austin
think Chuma
would.
Just. I think Chuma just needed a year to be sure.
Chuma probably not, but Austin would have. Austin was a top 15 recruit.
Yeah.
And a 7-footer.
Mustafa Heron would have.
Mustafa Heron would have. He was a top 5 recruit.
So.
See, this is why.
Mustafa wasn't a top 5 recruit.
Wasn't he? I thought he was top 5 in the country.
He's top 25.
Okay.
He was the first 5-star we got. But
he's the only top 25 player we've ever seen.
This is the thing about Mustafa is that the reason why the one-and-done rule exists is because of guys like him. Because a guy that in recruiting rankings, a top 25 player, but there's no way he's an NBA player.
This guy's like Kwame Brown.
Yeah. We're like, okay, in high school, he's dominating.
Everybody's like, oh, he's going to dominate the NBA, and then he stunk it up.
Yeah. Kwame's issue was that Michael Jordan literally ruined his soul, like took his ego from him and made it to where he was not confident on a basketball court. He actually was pretty decent with the Lakers after he got out of Washington, where Michael Jordan was trying to murder him. Yeah, Michael Jordan is a great guy, horrible guy. Great basketball player, sorry, horrible
guy. Yeah, I was about to say, is he
great guy? On the court, horrible guy everywhere else.
I don't know. I heard he used to play basketball with kids in the neighborhood and
probably try to beat them on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he probably dunk in a little kid's face.
Life ain't easy.
Names.
Life ain't easy, yeah. Man.
But they went and played some backyard baseball and they probably beat Jordan at that, though.
You know, he was not a terrible minor league baseball player.
Wasn't he?
No.
No, he batted.
He was okay.
He batted like 200 or something like that in AAA.
That's pretty bad.
There are guys worse than him who've been playing
baseball
their entire life.
Yeah, but there are guys in minors worse than him who've been doing this their whole life just to get to that point. This dude just
he's like, you know what? I want to play some baseball. I'm pretty good at golf. I'm going to go play some baseball.
This is like Steph Curry did not finish last in a pro-am that he was in. And you were like, all right, this dude in his hobby is better than two guys on the tour. Yeah, sure, he's not winning the Masters, but Steph Curry is a really good golfer for a guy who just plays, like, randomly on days before games. Guy's an NWO t-shirt.
No, it said BWO.
No, it's some weird Kansas City thing. We're watching soccer right now.
We've been teasing something.
Oh, yeah,
Since the first episode. Are we going to do it tonight, or are we going
to
save
it? Let's do it. We have about 10 minutes to talk about this.
Man, okay.
Try to keep it a tight segment.
Mm.
The first ever episode, first couple of weeks, we had a thing called Sandwich Spotlight, in which I would go out to eat, or Ryan would go out to eat, as most people do, for lunch, and get a sandwich, which is the common American lunch.
And then we'd come back. The Mexican version of a sandwich for dinner.
Which is a torta or a taco?
Burrito.
Burrito. There it is.
At Laredo. I had the spicy burrito. Delicious.
We talked about a different sandwich every week, and we would say, hey, guys, check out. I remember Joe's Deli was one. A place called... something in
Plucked Up.
Plucked Up. Yeah, in Columbus. I've
never heard of Joe's Deli.
It's right in front of here.
It's super good. Dude, it's...
Okay.
That's...
All right.
Next to veggies to go.
Legitimately, they have a daily special. They have really good quiche, really good breakfast. That is a three meals a day. That is a Crow's top take. Top tip. Go eat a Joe's Deli.
Is Tiger Package still over there?
I don't think so.
Do you even know what a Tiger Package is?
I don't know. It's not because it's veggies to go. Okay. And then Joe's Deli, and then there's like a
Great Clips.
Yeah, Great Clips.
And then Tiger Package used to be right there.
Yeah. This is now, it's now Joe's.
I think it's been close.
What's the sandwich spotlight?
Yeah. Anyway, so in the very first episode, we teased that we would do a Mama Goldberg spotlight. And then we found out that like people have like really hot takes.
There's some hot takes. Real hot takes.
So we never did it. And we were like, well, we kept teasing that, oh, next week we'll really get
it. And then it was football season, and then it was...
Then Chief came on, and
then we got whatever. Champs.
We got Champs of the Week. Yeah, we couldn't...
It's hard to talk about other food when we're...
Yeah. So we have tonight. No restrictions.
Speaking of, rest in peace.
Currently, yeah, rest in peace, Champs. Currently, no sponsor to be beholden to.
Free men.
We can say whatever we want.
We can say whatever we want. And I'll say this, I'll start this off. The best Mama Goldberg's in Auburn is on Thatch. Period.
Oh, okay.
If there is a best Mama Goldberg's in Auburn,
I mean,
today,
I asked you the last week when you said something like that, if hippies still work there.
Yes.
Then that's
one. The problem with that one on Thatch is it will take you the full length of a Grateful Dead live at Cornell song to get your sandwich. Well, it might be 30 minutes long.
Well, that's how it used to be. That's the authentic experience.
I'm sitting here the rest of my life to get my mom's love.
You walk into that the OG Mama Goldberg's, and it is... a corporate nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing
they don't even give you cups.
No, I know. Do they at the other stuff still?
I think so.
Last time I went to Thatch, they didn't.
I have one.
It's awful.
So that's very reasonable.
I was. Yeah. The last time I went on what is that?
Magnolia.
By
the business school.
They did not give me a cup. But I was there with Lydia and James. Shout out to the Joneses. After a game one night?
Did you call them Lindiana James?
No, I said Lydia and James.
I thought it was like Indiana Jones.
I'm calling them that.
Lindiana James.
Lindiana James.
James.
It's all one thing.
That should be their
their couple name
Twitter handle. Anyway, last time I went to that one, It was just disappointing. It's disappointing. Not the food
it's
necessarily.
Okay, so hang on. Are we going to talk about Mama Goldberg?
No.
Are we going to talk about Mama's Love? Or are we going to talk about what are we doing?
Well, what's your sandwich choice?
I'm talking about the restaurant.
Okay.
Oh, the sandwich choice used to be Mama's Love.
Yeah. I like the big
I don't know what the name of them are now. The one that has olives on it, I really
like. I don't like olives.
There's a turkey one I really like that has olives on it. Yeah, that might be it.
The Buff Burrito that they have there is. I used to get that when I went to the one on Longleaf sometimes.
Oh, yeah. That one opened after I moved out of Auburn.
Probably. I used to live over near.
There's so many Mama Goldbergs.
Three in all.
That's
three in all and several in Columbus.
Yeah, there was one in Opelika, and then they moved it, like, I don't know, 300 yards up the road.
Yeah.
So
it's out, like, almost in Tigertown.
Though. Yeah, it's in that pre-Tigertown.
Pre-Tigertown area.
Between Academy and Tigertown.
Yeah. Yes. It was always between Academy and Tigertown. But
they just kept moving closer to Tigertown.
So
the nachos are still
tip-top. Banging.
Yeah.
A lot of people that hate those.
Those people are dumb.
You can't
recreate. There are a lot of dumb people.
It's the people that say, oh, I can do that in my microwave.
You can't recreate those.
I have attempted on so many occasions.
Because somehow, if you do them in the microwave, they end up soggier than they are steamed. Which is...
Makes no sense.
You're
better off trying it.
Doesn't do the cheese right either.
You're better off trying to broil in the oven, but you got to get that. It's not going to be as nice and moist as the steam is going
to
do.
Now, my thing with Mama Goldberg's is, some of you may not know, my wife went to the other school in the state.
UAB?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be even worse in some ways. They opened one up over there.
Tuscaloosa?
Pretty late in her time there. But every time we went, I would go. We're going to eat there. Because it was like my embassy.
Yeah, it was like the U.S. It was like the Auburn Embassy in Tuscaloosa.
Yes, that's how it felt.
They served tumors lemonade.
It was great.
Take tire card.
So that I do finally remember that, and I do finally remember my days. I also, ladies and gentlemen, I used to have really long hair and would have been mistaken for a hippie, and I was every time I went to Mama Goldberg's because I never had to pay for a refill. They used to make you pay for refills there.
But they gave you a cup.
Yeah, that's true.
They gave you a cup.
Never had to pay for a refill. Sometimes didn't pay for my food because they thought I was in there grooving to the dead, too.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I was not.
Did they ask you which spread song was your favorite? Or
which string cheese incident?
Yeah.
Man. I'm not a jam band guy.
Until the last couple of years where...
You page side? That's what they asked you. Oh, sorry, that was a Fish reference.
You could judge an Auburn alum, if they were really a true Auburn fan... They had Mama Goldberg's cups.
Oh, in the pantry. Oh, that's all I can. Like, that's all I drink of.
If you see Mama Goldberg's cups, like, oh, you went to Auburn, right?
Yeah.
No more.
Well, that's recent that they don't.
I know.
Cups.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like within the last couple of days.
Well, it's not just the cups. It's just they're everywhere now, and you can get a cup.
Right. Yeah. You can get
them. Okay. And they started doing the Disney thing too, where they put all the locations on the cups, not just the one you were at. Which I don't know if you guys know, Disney slowly over the years has. They used to have, like, you get a cup in Disney Magic Kingdom, and it would say the Magic Kingdom on it. Now, it just says Disney Parks, and it's the same cup they have out in L.A.
And in Paris.
And everywhere else. So
it's not as unique. It's not as fun.
Right. It's not as unique. It's a cost-saving measure, I'm sure.
It doesn't make you feel special.
It'll make you feel special.
Disney, they got to watch out for that bottom dollar.
My parents still get cups when they go to the one in Jacksonville. So it must
be. Maybe it's a location by location.
I don't know why they wouldn't have it in Auburn, though.
It must have just been out.
I went three different times to the one.
It's been 2 or 3 years since I've gotten a cup.
Do you get any cups?
They have cups.
Now, they brought it back at one point for, like, the 40-year anniversary of Mama G's. I got a couple of those cups.
Oh, man. I paid good money for those.
We have cups.
I want the one in
our pantry right now.
From this past year?
I've only lived in town for a year.
Yeah. Maybe I am mistaken.
I don't believe I am.
Well,
you got them from Thatch, though. I haven't been going to Thatch. I've been going to OG.
Why are you doing that? I'm telling you right now, the one on Thatch is the best one.
Well,
I'm here to talk about sandwiches. It's
so,
the sandwich
so Thatch, oh, sorry. Thatch the sandwiches is the one have gotten, just, the sandwiches have gotten progressively worse at the one on Magnolia.
Well,
the sandwiches are
because the hippies aren't there to make them.
There is a direct proportion to the quality of the sandwich. You can put this on a graph for all the engineering nerds. You can make the y-axis. Oh, look, my wife is holding a Mama Goldberg's cup. from this on the statue. Advertising soup on the back.
These are the ones
like
that they were giving out the last time I was there. They're bigger. They're not the same shape. I do like them better for my home drinking because they are a little bigger.
That's the best cup in town.
I have several of these.
For a franchise, if maybe the Orange and Truth podcast should open a Mama Goldberg's franchise.
Somewhere. Where though? There's already three in town and one in Opelika.
Oh, the lake.
Shorter?
Yeah. Lake Martin.
There probably already is one on the lake.
Wouldn't shock me. Anyway, if you make the X axis, which is the one that goes left and right, east and west.
Very good.
Make the east west axis, east west axis, quality of
sandwich. YX axis?
No. Just number of hippies working at a Mama Goldberg's is the east-west axis.
Okay.
Your y-axis, your up and down quality of sandwich.
Uh-huh.
That number is direct proportion. Because that number is going to go up to the right.
There's probably, it's probably not direct.
Is it a linear or an exponential growth?
It's probably exponential. There's a probably break-even point in where you...
If there's 50 hippies working there, your sandwich is not getting
diminishing
made.
Returns on the...
If there's a really good bootleg of an old Fish concert from
Atlanta. I want to say when Lydia and James and I and
Lindiana James,
Lindiana James was when we went that time after a football game, I think they'll have to remind me. There was like some pop music playing.
No,
it really killed the mood.
No, you got to walk in there and it's got to be right in the middle of some weird dead like drum circle. From Berkeley show.
Brian may not even know this version of Mama G's.
No, I actually have a memory of Mama G's from maybe my sophomore year where somebody asked if they could have my styrofoam cup to take their drink downtown.
Yeah.
But then on second thought, I don't want to share a cup with you. You could have herpes and I don't know. Like mouth herpes.
That's all they said?
Yeah. Never mind.
It's a great conversation.
Okay.
If you don't open the door and hear like boom, 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 and you're like that, if you hear that, you're like terrific. But if you open the door and you hear like Taylor Swift, no, your sandwich is going to get made too. It goes back to I don't like my restaurants to be predictable. I don't like my restaurants to be precise. I want my restaurants to have a little bit of chaos built into the system.
Unless you're Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A and Starbucks are built on that. On the tenet of, I know exactly what I'm getting when I order it. Starbucks is not great coffee. Matter of fact, it's like really, really not great.
But it's available.
Super not great. But you know it's going to taste exactly the same at the Starbucks in Target in Tigertown and the Starbucks in the Abu Dhabi airport. It'll taste exactly the same. And that is insane that that's the case. But that's why you're paying $4 for your cold brew, because that cold brew is tasting the same in both spots. Mama Goldberg's, I don't want that. I want it every so often there'd be like 16 extra pieces of turkey in my mama's love, or like randomly a Cool Ranch Dorito made it somehow into my nachos. I don't know how it happened.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what you want.
The more corporate it's gone, the worse it's gotten. Now, there are those out there that say the mama's love is trash. That all sandwiches from Mama Goldberg's.
Speaking
are trash,
of a little bit of chaos steamed. Built in.
They just don't like steam sandwiches.
Well, we're going to see.
These guys might be anti-Semites, is all I'm saying.
That is a Zlatan Ibrahimovic goal. Speaking of a little chaos built in, there are people out there who don't like Zlatan, who think he's too much chaos, too unpredictable, too crazy. He is amazing. He's what I want in a professional athlete, just a complete lunatic who thinks he's the greatest person in the world. And who does crazy things and just tries stuff that he shouldn't try, and every so often it goes in.
It's kind of weird seeing that.
Classic Malik.
Classic Malik.
These have these uniforms are a little Inter Milan.
Yeah, these are some special edition.
It's kind of weird seeing him back in the
old Inter.
The old country colors.
I want a Malik Dunbar sandwich. I don't want this. I don't always want a sandwich that I know, okay, the sandwich is going to be, I don't want a Mustafa Heron sandwich that I know is going to get me 15 and 5 every single time. I need a sandwich that might give me 15 and 5, might get in a fight on the court, might also dunk on 6 people at once, might try to dunk on 6 people at once.
Might try and dunk on a teammate.
Yeah, who knows? That's what I like about my sandwiches.
Try. You might just do it.
You might just do it.
That's a great analogy there.
We need Zlatan Ibrahimovic sandwiches. I like that you accuse people of not liking Mama's Loves of being anti-Semitic.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to come back. Well, it's a Jewish deli.
Is it a Jewish deli? Well, I've had a pork sandwich there.
Well, okay, it's not.
Yeah.
But this whole steamed sandwich thing is a Jewish deli thing.
They are delicious.
Yeah.
And those sandwiches are outrageous. Sometimes. They can be really good.
Yeah. You don't want it too soggy. That's the only.
Yeah. And again,
sometimes it is, and it's okay. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I love the Mama's Love.
I'm going to stand for Mama Goldberg's.
Big, I'm the way be it living was. In an apartment that actually is connected to a Mama Goldberg's.
Oh, now we're
get
talking.
You a Big Mama every night. No tomato. That's what
just
I
get those nachos.
I'll ask Caroline before I can do that.
Here's the thing. The nachos are cheap. But now I will say I don't like Columbus. The fact that they've added a bunch of stuff to their nachos. You can now get like nachos with stuff like
oh no
on top of pepper jack cheese.
Yeah, no. You want pepper jack cheese and jalapenos. That's it.
Yeah,
that's all you want.
Who
people are making meals out of their nachos?
These hippies, man.
Not hippies. This is the corporate.
Oh,
this is corporate America, man.
Come on.
These Birmingham people.
Yeah.
Mount Brook.
These corporate America, man. That's who it is, man.
Man, but I love a Mama's Love. I will.
You want a guy to tell you to look at the back of a dollar bill? I'm like, have you looked at the back of a dollar bill? I mean, like, really looked at it? Anyway, here's your Mama's Love. That's what you want at Mama Goldberg's. There's a lot of spooky stuff happening on the back of a dollar bill, man. Turkey.
I really do miss the old Mama's Love experience, though. It was the nastiest place on the face of the
I would see feet. Roaches.
It was so gross.
Regularly.
So at gross.
Mama Goldberg's on Magnolia.
The only two places I ate as a freshman, three. I ate in the Commons cafeteria, which is where I lived.
My brother lived in the Commons.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
You lived in the cafeteria?
The cafeteria is in the. The Commons is the name of the.
Was housing. The name of the dorm, and it was.
And the cafeteria was in
where,
there.
Where was that dorm at?
Next to the hotel and conference
yeah,
center.
Yeah, it's something else now. It's called something
else. Oh, yeah. I think they're getting rid of this.
No, the university owns them now. They're not getting rid of them. Yeah. They're just building stuff in the parking lot. The culinary school is going in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Taco Bell, which was right down the street, right behind the Fiji House.
Right.
And Mama Goldberg.
My freshman year.
Only two places I ate.
Burger King's right there.
I ate at Chick-fil-A every single day my freshman year.
Mr. Peace Burger King on Gay.
Yeah, at Chick-fil-A.
Because there was one in Foy. And I'd either get the one in Foy or the one on Magnolia.
Later in my school, I would stop by the one in Foy for chicken biscuit in the morning.
Yeah, I that was a constant. Because they took Tiger Card. So I was at that.
Yeah, I want to say the chicken biscuits were only like $2 then, so it was like not that expensive
for
a breakfast food meal.
And then once I discovered Mama Goldberg's, because all my classes were in Haley, so I never made it to that part of campus ever.
Yeah,
but if I ever did have to go to that part of campus, like if I had one semester at a random business school class, and I'd go to that class almost every day, the next stop would be lunch at Mama G's.
I would just go there on like a Friday night and
get
dinner sometimes.
It's kind of like things I have not done since living in Auburn. Eat at the original Mama Goldberg's.
Oh, I went 10 years without going there, dude. I went a long time.
And I haven't been to Mellow Mushroom since moving back here.
Nah.
I used to love that place. Yeah, they follow me on Twitter. They seem like nice guys.
They're okay. If they want to sponsor us, I'll say they're great.
I used to eat those calzones once a week when I was in college.
And we ate there a lot. A few years back, we ate there once a week just about.
Well, of a Mellow Mushroom, see, this is the difference. Mellow Mushroom is in a ton of cities.
Yeah.
It's a big chain. Each Mellow Mushroom feels like this is the only Mellow Mushroom in the world.
Yeah, a little bit.
They do a really good job localizing their locations.
As opposed to Mama G's.
I want to talk about a place where you feel like dirty hippies work, too.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, keep giving jobs to Deadhead and Spreadheads.
That's the best breakfast joint in town. Bunch of hippies.
Big Blue. Big Blue? Okay, I was like... Wait.
Yeah. Although
one of the best engineers I work with, he's a deadhead.
Nice.
I will tell you, I was really weirded out the other morning. There was a very not hippie girl working in cashier.
Big Blue.
And you're like,
whoa, hey, man.
I was uncomfortable.
Are you a cop?
I was uncomfortable. I was literally, I told my wife afterwards, I was like, this girl didn't work in here.
Who's a square?
Yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, guys, we are about out of time. Any last words you guys want to say on the pod for this week? We'll see you guys next week. Thanks again for making this one of the most fun things I've ever done for a year. Yeah. It's been a great year.
It's a great year
of Orange and True. And let's have another good year. Let's have another good year starting next week. Like I always say, Auburn's going to win the football game.